Live from the historic parsonage of 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania. It's Iron Sharpens Iron, a radio platform on which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs 27, verse 17 tells us, "Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Matthew Henry said that in this passage, quote, "We are cautioned to take heed whom we converse with, and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better." It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next hour, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. Now here's our host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron, wishing you all a happy Friday on this 21st day of July, 2017. I just came back from a wonderful reunion with my niece, Patrice. My niece Patrice, who is the oldest of two daughters of my oldest brother, John, and I have not seen Patrice since 1995. And not only did I see my niece Patrice for the first time since 1995, I met, for the very first time ever, four of her seven children. And her children that I met today for the first time are Gabrielle, who is 18, Elisha, who is 14, Nathaniel, who is 10, and Shiloh, who is 5. And we all paid a visit to my other brother, Andy, my second oldest brother, over at the Forest Park nursing facility. And what a blessed time I had. And I am so thankful to God that quite a long time ago, our Lord was pleased to save Patrice, and she married a wonderful Christian man. And they just celebrated their 25th wedding anniversary, and they are raising their children in the Christian faith, and it does my heart a lot of joy to know that. But that is actually connected to our subject today, and that is our subject with Israel Wayne, who I am interviewing today for the first time. The subject is his book, Education, Does God Have an Opinion? And Israel Wayne is a conference speaker. He's a regular columnist for Homeschool Digest, Homeschool Enrichment, and the Old Schoolhouse magazines. He's a site editor for ChristianWorldview.net and author of a number of books, including Full-Time Parenting, A Guide to Family-Based Discipleship, Questions God Asks, Questions Jesus Asks, and Pitching a Fit, Overcoming Angry and Stressed Out Parenting, and more. And as I said, we are discussing his book, Education, Does God Have an Opinion? And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you to Iron Sharpens Iron for the very first time, Israel Wayne.
Oh, thank you, Chris. It's a blessing to be on your show.
Also joining me again, Steve Schultz has been a guest on our program in the past, and he is going to be a guest again in the future. But today he is serving as one of two co-hosts with me as we interview Israel Wayne. Steve Schultz is headmaster at Grace Christian Academy of Long Island, located in Merrick, New York. And this is a classical Christian school, and it's affiliated with the congregation where I was formerly a member, Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Steve Schultz.
Hey, Chris. Honor and blessing to be here with you.
Great. And in studio with me is my more regular co-host, the Reverend Buzz Taylor.
Hello. It's great to be here, and I love the subject.
Great. And our email address, if anybody would like to join us on the air with a question for our guest, Israel Wayne, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside of the good old USA. And please only remain anonymous if it's about a personal and private matter. And I could see a subject like this very easily lending itself to a private and sensitive question. So if it is about something like that, you may feel free to remain anonymous. But otherwise, please give us your first name, at least your city and state and country. Well, Israel, what I typically do when I interview guests for the first time is I ask them to give our listeners something of a summary of your own personal testimony of salvation, what kind of religious atmosphere, if any, you were raised in as a child, and what were the providential circumstances that our Lord used to draw you to himself and save you?
Ah, great question. Well, my background is rather complex. I'll try to simplify it as much as I possibly could. But my upbringing is kind of dualistic, I guess I would say. When my parents got married, my father was a Christian and my mother was not a Christian. And so their marriage only lasted about 6 years. And then they divorced. And so I grew up in a situation where I knew the scripture from the time that I was born, essentially. But when my mother remarried after my parents divorced, she married a non-Christian. And it was a very abusive situation, and I was in a very toxic, very heavily physically abusive relationship with my stepfather from the age of about 6 to 15. And so during that time, though, my mother homeschooled us, and I never ended up going to government school at all. I spent second grade and sixth grade in private Christian school because of the fact that homeschooling was illegal in those days. It was against the law to teach your children at home in the United States and in almost every state back then.
Wow.
And so we were faced with some court cases a couple of times where we were given an ultimatum that my mother either had to put us into a government school or have us taken away from her by Child Protective Services, put in a foster home situation, and then we would, of course, be forcibly put into government education. And so my mother chose option C, which was private Christian school. So in second grade and sixth grade, I had two different private Christian school experiences, but never ended up being in government education at all myself. I had a very close relationship with the Lord from the time that I was a young child. And I think I first asked Christ to save me when I was 3. And then I was baptized when I was 7, and I never abandoned the Christian faith. And some people say it's not possible for somebody to be saved that young. I don't know exactly where we find that in the scripture, but
John the Baptist might have been in the womb, right?
So I think God's had his hand on my life throughout that time. And but coming out of the abusive relationship that I was in my later teens, I had to ask myself, am I embracing the Christian faith simply because, I was taught this in church and it was what I was led to believe, or, do I embrace this because I believe it to be true? And my mother came to know the Lord when I was 12, and soon after that became a single parent and ended up homeschooling myself and my sisters. As a single parent then in that situation. So a very interesting situation. My mother's conversion experience and coming to know the Lord was pretty radical. And so God used a lot of those situations and circumstances to help sort of shape the trajectory of what I'm doing now. We have a ministry called Family Renewal, and it really focuses on the necessity of applying the gospel specifically to the issues that relate to the family, marriage and parenting and education and those issues. And I've seen a lot of families who I think feel like maybe they're too messed up or they're too dysfunctional and God can't really do anything with them. And my mission, my vision is to say that the grace of God is big enough to change anybody's situation.
Great. And before I move on, I'd like to also have one of our co-hosts, Steve Schultz, just give a little plug in your own words for Grace Christian Academy on Long Island in Merrick, New York.
All right, thanks, Chris. Grace Christian Academy is the only K through 12 classical Christian school in all of New York City and Long Island. Our primary focus is on the gospel. Our secondary focus is on academic excellence. But on a level that supersedes most schools, we at this point still have 100% graduation and college entry. And we don't engage in the Common Core in state testing or regents. And we are sending our kids off to schools like NYU and Penn State and Syracuse and Duke and Stony Brook, and we're doing quite well.
Great. And for anybody who wants to look up information about Grace Christian Academy later on after the program, the website is GCALI.com, GCA for Grace Christian Academy, LI.com. Well, Israel, and by the way, Steve, since I cannot see you, you can just butt in any time as long as you're not entering into a sentence midstream. Butt in any time that you have a question to ask of our guest Israel Wayne, because obviously I'm not going to be able to see you raising your hand or anything like that since you're on the phone. And obviously, I think a good place to start off, Israel, would be the purpose of education. What is it?
Well, I think the purpose of education is very tied into a bigger question, which is, what is the purpose of our existence? What is the purpose of our life? And the way I think about it is that I think of life as being like a pie, and if you can identify what kind of pie you have, if you take a pie, let's say a blueberry pie, for example, I live in southwest Michigan where we grow more blueberries than anywhere else in the world, so that one comes to my mind right away. Let's say we have a blueberry pie, and we slice that pie up into eight different slices. If I take one slice of that pie and I give you a slice from that pie, you will know definitively what kind of pie you're getting. If you know what's true for the whole, you know that what is true for the whole is also true for the sum of all of its parts. And so when you think about the question of education, education is a slice of our life. You know, you can think of work, you can think of relationships, you know, our hobbies. All of those things may comprise different slices of who we are and how we allocate our time. But all of them should be integrated. They should be consistent with the main purpose of our life. I think, honestly, Harvard College, back in 1636, when they were founded, their original mission statement says it pretty well. It says that that every student should be earnestly pressed to consider well the main end of his life and studies is to know God and Jesus Christ, John 17:3, and to lay Christ as the foundation for all sound knowledge and learning. So the reason that we're here on this earth is predominantly to know God, to love Him, and to obey and serve Him, and then we do that through practical application and loving and serving other people. So my family actually has a mission statement, and we have a poster that's on our wall, and it says, in our living room, and it says, we exist to know, love, and serve God, and love and serve other people. So the reason we educate our children is to prepare them to know, love, and serve the God who created everything, who made all these different academic disciplines, and then to be equipped practically to go out in the world and bless other people in the name of Christ, to glorify God with their knowledge and with their talent.
And what about government schooling, commonly called public schools, which, ironically, in the UK, I believe they call private schools public schools. But there seems to be a mixture of opinion amongst those in the body of Christ in regard to sending their children to public schools. Some think that this is a way for their children to be salt and light in the world as Christians, if they are indeed Christians. And they think that that is a good way to help them develop social skills and discover what it's like to be in the midst of the world with opposing views to Christianity and so on. What is your view of that?
Well, I'll try to get to each of those. I think, first of all, I'd like to kind of identify what the purpose of an education would be from the government education model.
Sure.
And 80 to 90% of all Christians have chosen this approach to education for their children. So it's really the dominant viewpoint by far, is that it really is a primary goal and role of the government to be involved in teaching children. But when you look at that form of education, you ask parents, why are you sending your children to school? Why are you teaching them? Why are you educating them? About 80% of all Christian parents will say, well, I'm educating them so that they can, you know, get good grades and learn things and have good information so that they can go to college and get a degree. And I say, okay, so why is it important to go to college and get a degree? And they say, well, if you don't have a degree, it's awfully hard to get a job. I say, well, why do you need a job? And they say, well, it's important to have a job because if you don't have a job, then how are you going to make money? I say, well, what do you need money for? Why is it important to make money? They say, well, man, if you don't make money, how are you going to pay the bills? I mean, you have to pay bills, you have to pay taxes, you have to buy food, you have to support a family. I say, okay, well, so why do you have to do all that? And for people that I talk to and I ask these questions, they basically stop there. Like, they don't have a way to even think beyond that question. It just seems so self-evident. Like, well, that's what you do. That's why we're here. That's why we're living, is because we're supposed to work a job and pay the bills and make a living and support our family. And, like, what else is there? And what I would suggest is that that is not a Christian worldview. That is a humanistic worldview. That is really the American dream, as opposed to being a worldview that's informed by the gospel. And what I see is the teachings of Jesus and the apostles kind of turn everything on its head and say that none of those things are ends. All of those things are means. And I think as Christians, we're very confused about the difference between ends and means. And we tend to look at a lot of things as ends that really are not. And so even a job, even money, those things are simply means for what end? Well, I would suggest, going back to the purpose of life, that there are means for us to know, love, and serve God, and love and serve other people. That's why we're here. So ultimately, if I can break it down this way, you really only have two models. You're here to know, love, and serve God, and love and serve other people, or you're here to know, love, and serve yourself. And essentially, that kind of is the worldview. That's the mantra. That's the model that is subtly promoted through 10 to 14,000 hours of classroom education between K-12, and it's what most people come out with. Even if they're Christian, you know, their worldview is basically, I give 10% of my time and my money to Jesus, and then the rest of all this life belongs to me. The gospel says that if you become a bondservant or a slave of Christ, nothing belongs to you. Everything belongs to Christ. And you are a steward, you're a caretaker of your time, talents, and resources for a greater purpose, for a greater end.
And could you tell us something about the state of the government schools throughout the country? I'm assuming that there would be some areas of the United States where the agenda has been more dominated by leftism. I don't even use the term much anymore, liberalism, because so much of what we see is not liberalism, because liberals, at least the classic liberals of years ago, believed that conservative ideas and Christian ideas were an acceptable voice in the town square and the table of exchanging ideas and so on. Now you have what is more resembling of leftist totalitarianism, where many, and not only your average household, but those even more dangerously in positions of authority in government, want to just remove our voice and our opinions from the town square, from public hearing, from elected office, etc. But if you could tell us what you know about the state schools across the nation?
Well, I think there are pockets, obviously, geographically of the country that lean farther left in terms of their political, social, and religious ideology than others. Certainly, the Northeast is going to be way more liberal than the South, the rural South of the United States, and you're going to have pockets of conservatism where you'll have more Christian influence, you have more church-going, Bible-believing people who are involved in the school system. But overall, I think that there is a concept that people have, especially if they happen to live in an area that might be marked by more conservative people. There's a belief system that I hear all the time, which is our school is different. If you ask people, what do you think about government education on a national basis, almost anybody anywhere will tell you it's in trouble academically. There are issues with it morally. Very few people will just defend it en masse. But their belief is, but our school is different. We live in a good area. We have a good local school district. I don't think I've ever met a Christian parent who sends their children to government schools that does not firmly believe that they live in a good school district and that their school is different. Everyone that I talk to, that's their mantra. And it's interesting because, like, I have a friend, for example, who is a professor at Missouri State University, and he and I did a tour throughout rural southern Missouri, like Springfield area and some of that area where it's heavy church. You know, you've got, like, the Assemblies of God has their national headquarters there, and, you know, there's just churches everywhere. We went around and started speaking at churches, and this guy went into every town that we went to their local school, and he took out the required reading books, the literature books, for, like, fifth and sixth graders in the school, and he photocopied pages, and he brought it, and he showed it on PowerPoint. He said, I'm just going to read you this. This is required reading literature for your town's local public school. I got this out of your school's library. Just let me read this to you. And he would start reading from it, and the people complained to the pastors. We were doing this on, like, during the week seminars. They complained to the pastors at the church and said, these people should not be allowed to come here and speak in our church. They were using profanity and reading what essentially amounts to pornography in our churches. And these people should be put out. They should not be allowed to come here and speak those words in our church building. And what was ironic is a lot of the people who complained the loudest to the pastors were actually teachers in those same public schools.
Wow.
So the disconnect is huge. They have, it's this compartmentalization of Christianity that is so rampant in America. They have no problem with fifth and sixth graders having that as required reading in the literature in their school in which they teach. But they'll go to their pastor and say, that was obscene and profane and it was pornography and those words should never be spoken in the house of God. It just shows how completely separate people have compartmentalized Christianity or their faith from all the rest of life, and they just see no problem with it being in their school. But, boy, if you read those words in a church building, all of a sudden they've got their dander up. So, point being, I think that the myth is that there are pockets where the schools have not been affected by leftist ideology, and I would contend that simply isn't true. I think most parents are just simply turning a blind eye to what's there, and as standardization has continued, particularly with things like Common Core, the whole movement is to standardize everything so that there's uniform material that's being taught in all the schools across the United States so that you don't have dissent and you don't have individualism.
I was just curious if I could ask my co-host Steve Schultz a question about children leaving the government school systems to enter into enrollment in Grace Christian Academy. What kind of things have you heard from parents who are making that decision?
Okay. The Common Core and the very aggressive LGBT movement within the public schools have been our greatest ally. Hate to say it that way, but it took those two things to really come out to wake up the church. And for years, I had spoken to Christians within the church and asked them to consider a Christian education. And I would never hear a Christian worldview used as an analysis to make their decision. It was always, like Israel said, you know, our school's doing fine. We got a good science lab. We got a great computer program. But never at any point was there any dialogue over Christian worldview. Things had to become extremely bad, you know, again, through Common Core and the LGBT movement. In order to stimulate those families out and to make the sacrifices that they'll need to make an alternative schooling situation. So that's the main thing I've heard. I'm still, even with those things, I'm still disappointed that we don't think Christianly. In our Christian community across the country. We're not making our decisions with a Christian worldview.
And we're going to go to a break right now. If anybody else would like to join us on the air with a question, and we do have a number of people who have already lined up to have their questions asked and answered by you, Israel. But if anybody else would like to join them, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, C-H-R-I-S-A-R-N-Z-E-N. @gmail.com. And as always, please give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if it's about a personal and private matter. Don't go away. God willing, we will be right back with Israel Wayne in our discussion on education. Does God have an opinion, a biblical apologetic for Christian education and homeschooling?
Hi, I'm Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, here to tell you about an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World at no charge for 90 days and get a free copy of R.C. Sproul's book, Relationship Between Church and State. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. Simply visit wmg.org/ironsharpens. to get your World trial and Dr. Sproul's book all free. No obligation with no credit card required. Visit World News Group at wng.org/ironsharpens today.
Have you been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? We remain on the air because of our faithful sponsors and because of listeners like you. There are four ways you can help. First, do you know potential sponsors who may wish to advertise their goods or services on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? Second, whenever possible, purchase the products or use the services that our sponsors advertise. And then let them know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Thirdly, you can also donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio by going to our website at ironsharpensironradio.com and click support at the top of the page. But most importantly, keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in your prayers. We hope that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio blesses you for many years to come.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future. and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for a visit to the pastor's study, because everyone needs a pastor.
Welcome back. This is Chris Sarnes, and for those of you who just tuned us in, our guest today for the full 2 hours with about 90 minutes to go is Israel Wayne. We are discussing his book, Education, Does God Have an Opinion? A Biblical Apologetic for Christian Education and Homeschooling. Co-hosting with me is Steve Schultz, the headmaster of Grace Christian Academy of Long Island in Merrick, New York. And also in studio co-hosting is the Reverend Buzz Taylor. If you'd like to join us on the air, our email address is chrisarnsen@gmail.com. chrisarnsen@gmail.com if you have a question for Israel Wayne and perhaps even for Steve Schultz. And please only remain anonymous if it's about a personal and private matter. Otherwise, please give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence. We have a question for you, Israel, from Daniel in San Jose, California. He says, "Hello, brother. I am a father of two young boys and another child on the way, Lord willing. Christian education and discipleship is very important to my wife and I, who are new to homeschooling. We are struggling on what curriculum to use. Can you shed some light on how to choose the right curriculum and how to get the most out of homeschooling? Also, I live in California, and sending my sons to a public school is out of the question because of what is taught at schools today. Should I completely keep my kids away from what is taught in the secular schools, for example, evolution, or is it beneficial to educate them on such subjects?" So you got a couple of questions there, Israel.
Yeah, great. Well, thank you for your question, and I'm excited to hear about your commitment to discipling your children. That's very refreshing. I'd like to say, as far as the curriculum goes, I'm going to abstain from mentioning any particular curriculum publishers, although you know I have biases and preferences on those, but just to avoid promoting one over another. I'll just say that you want to look for a publisher that is specifically integrating a biblical worldview into every aspect of their curriculum. Most of the major Christian publishers who produce K-12 curriculum, I think, do this fairly effectively. I would recommend, I don't know where you live in California, but there is a
San Jose.
Go to, in San Jose. Okay, there's a conference you can go to that's in Sacramento, and used to be one in San Jose. I've spoken at that one in the past, but there's one I'm going to speak at as keynote for 2018, and it's called Scope. And so if you look up Scope Homeschooling in Sacramento, you can find out about their homeschooling conference. And at that conference, you can go and actually look at the curriculum. You can pick it up. You can browse through it. And that'll help you in making the selection of what you actually choose. On the aspect of teaching evolution, I think it's vital for Christian young people to be taught about the theory of evolution. I think the problem with government schooling is, in that respect, is that it teaches that evolution is true. And so my children, my wife and I homeschool, we have 9 children, my children know about the theory of evolution, and we talk about it frequently and extensively, and we're not afraid to talk about the viewpoints of the other side, but we don't present that as being truth. And I think it's really difficult for children when they're just bombarded again with 10,000 to 14,000 hours of a narrative that says that everything that exists came out of an explosion and then slowly evolved out of, you know, the primordial soup to where we are today. I think they're very confused when they have that narrative that's just impressed on them over and over and over, not just through school, but through television, through cartoons, through, you know, social media everywhere, and then they go to church for, you know, an hour, 2 or 3 a week, and their parents tell them, we don't believe that stuff. I think they feel like, okay, so these Christians just don't know anything about science, and they just shut their brains off and go believe this other thing over here. And I think it's important for us to give scientific evidence that shows that we do live in a world that was created by a divine, infinite, intelligent creator.
In fact, Steve Schultz, as headmaster of Grace Christian Academy, I understand that classical education would be in full agreement with what Israel just said, because of the fact that you want children to be taught the truth, but at the same time, you want them to be able to think critically, think apologetically, and they are exposed to the anti-biblical, unbiblical theories out there, at least in certain classes, but they are taught not as a alternative option of, for truth or possible truth. They are just taught so that your students can more intelligently communicate with people that hold those views. Am I right?
Oh, by all means, and I appreciate what Israel's saying about it. Because we're classical, one of the activities that we regularly engage in is we will have our students assigned to different sides of the issue, whether they agree with it or not, and it is their responsibility to research and then argue on behalf of that position that was assigned to them, and to do so effectively. And sometimes a child who feels very strongly against evolution is in a situation where he's arguing for it for the sake of the exercise, and then when everything's all over, we then equip the students with the reasoning necessary to evaluate the false claims of it.
And Reverend Buzz Taylor, my co-host in the studio, has something to say.
Well, you're also teaching debate there. That's great. But for our listeners' question, I'm very pleased to hear that you're making that decision also. I made that decision a long time ago. When I first learned about homeschooling, I went home and told my wife, there's nothing else for us to do. We homeschooled 6 children. But when we started homeschooling, there weren't a lot of curriculums available. It's developed so much over the years. Back when we started homeschooling, it went by a different name. Back then it was called child abuse, and there really wasn't a lot of stuff written for it. But, you know, as we went through the years, we changed curriculums a few times because that wasn't the big issue. The big issue was that they were getting an education and it was not going to be an education that was going to destroy their faith.
Thank you, Buzz. And we have Joe in Slovenia who has a question. Dear Brother Chris, thanks for filling each day with excited anticipation about the rich topic you'll address for us. Please ask Brother Israel to address the issue of socialization for homeschoolers. The most frequent question or objection that we receive about homeschooling our children is, how are they going to be socialized if they don't go to public school and learn to interact with other children? I'm amazed at how this seems to be such an important value for so many people. The same people agree that much of the socialization that kids get in public schools is negative, yet somehow they think that it is a necessary aspect of becoming a well-adjusted member of society. Can you please dispel some of this wrong-headedness for us? Thank you so much for sharpening us today to care deeply about the proper education of our children.
Great question. And one of the things that I set out to do when I wrote my book, Education, Does God Have an Opinion, is I wanted to completely examine and get down to foundational presuppositions, if you will, to examine what is it that we believe fundamentally and why do we believe it. For example, when we think about education, if I were to tell the listeners, just close your eyes and tell me what comes to your mind when I say the word education, they probably say big brick building, playground, classrooms, chalkboards, school desks, teachers, all that kind of thing. I say, okay, textbooks. I say, okay, that's great. Now, let's say that you and I were stranded on a deserted island, and all we had was a Bible and some free time, which we would have if you're with me because I don't know how to build a boat. So I say, let's try to find out, what does God have to say about education, and what would education look like if all we had to describe it was a Bible? Would any of those things that you just mentioned be in the list? They would say no, because none of those things that they think of when the word education comes up in conversation are anywhere found in Scripture. So what I think that shows us is that the things we believe about education have been informed to us by something other than Scripture. They've been informed to us primarily by our experience and by culture. And we have been told this is what the paradigm of education is supposed to look like. I would say that as Bible-believing Christians, we supposedly believe that God's Word is the final authority for life and morality and practice. And that's our starting point. That's our foundation. So as it relates to this issue of socialization, when I ask parents, is it important for children to be socialized? Everybody says, well, of course it's important to be socialized. And what's interesting is if you go to a Christian homeschooling conference and there's a workshop on socialization, almost inevitably you will have a speaker who spends 55 minutes trying to give you 300 different ways that you can properly socialize your children. Because even within the Christian homeschooling community, we have accepted this premise, we've bought into this presupposition that children, in order to be properly socialized, need to spend large quantities of time around other children their own age. Now let's just drop everything we thought we knew about education for a minute and go to Scripture. Does Scripture reinforce that viewpoint? Where in the Bible does it say, make sure that your children spend large quantities of unsupervised time with other children their own age? Or just even large quantities of time with other children their own age? Give me a chapter, give me a verse, any verse in the Bible that would give us that idea. I'm going to suggest to you it's not there. I would also suggest that the Scripture says the exact opposite of that. And one of the passages that comes to my mind is Proverbs 13, verse 20, where it says, he who walks with wise men will become wise, but a companion of fools will be destroyed. What's interesting to me about that is that the Bible actually gives us a definition, two definitions, actually, of what a fool is. The one is where it says that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So that's one category or one definition of a fool, the person who does not acknowledge God and dismisses God from the equation. That would be one example of a fool. The other would be found in Proverbs 22:15, And that's where we're told that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. So we know that a place that we can go to expect to find foolishness would be in a child, because it's not just there, it's bound up there. So when we think about a social context where we want our children to be, when it says that a companion of fools will be destroyed, then you shouldn't have your children spending large quantities of time around A, other children, or B, people who say there is no God. I think you can infer that from that text. So what's interesting is when you think about someone who's wise, and you say, well, what does that look like? Well, a wise person typically would be someone older, someone who has some life experience, someone certainly who acknowledges God. That would be a wise person. And the scripture tells us that that is who we want our children to hang around. We want them to be around those kinds of people. So that wouldn't look like a classroom with 30 students all the same age. There's another verse in the New Testament where the Apostle Paul says something very similar. It's in 1 Corinthians 15:33, and Paul says, "Do not be deceived," or "do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." And this really ties in with that salt and light argument, because people say, well, you need to have your children in the public school so they can be salt and light. And the Apostle Paul, I think, dismantles that argument by saying that rather than your Christian child going in there and converting this whole class of non-Christian students, the tendency, the rule is that your good child who has good character is going to be influenced negatively by the social context of the classroom. And I say there's three different teachers in every school. There's the person who stands up in front and says, "Good morning, class, I'm your teacher." There's the textbooks, which is also a teacher. And then there is the teacher who actually influences your child and has the most influence of all in the classroom, and that is the peer group. And the peer group is the most dominant force in the school. And so that social context of the child being with other young people who have a tendency, a trajectory towards foolishness, is very harmful for the child. So the scripture tells us that we should have them be with wise people, those who fear the Lord, those who are older and more mature. The analogy with salt and light that I think is important to consider is the argument is sort of like this, that your child is like an apple. And people are saying there's this barrel of bad apples over here in the school, and you have a good apple. You need to take your good apple and throw your good apple over into that barrel so that your good apple can make all those bad apples turn good. And the Apostle Paul says, do not be deceived, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. So there's really nothing in Scripture that would support the idea that children spending large quantities of time hanging out together is beneficial for them. I think it is important for children to spend time with people of all ages, but they should do that in a context where there's oversight and where there's guidance, particularly by their parents, where their parents are there, where the parents are involved. And this is a little bit of a rabbit trail with this, but that whole concept of age segregation that was actually created by John Dewey, who was a signer of the First Humanist Manifesto. He was an atheist and a socialist, the father of the progressive education movement in the 1920s and 30s in the United States. He created the 30 to 40 student classroom specifically because he wanted to break the allegiance of children from their parents. And he said, in order to do that, we have to shift the children's allegiance away from their parents, the child's allegiance, to something else. And the easiest way to do that is to create a herd, to create a peer group. So he said, if you take 30 to 40 students all the same age and you set them in a classroom for 1 year, in 1 year's time, most of those students will become peer dependent. And once they're peer dependent and you've created a herd, then you as a teacher can infiltrate that herd, and if you do it smart, you can lead that herd anywhere you want to take them. And in the Communist Manifesto, Karl Marx said, He said, you accuse us of wanting to destroy the most hallowed of relations between parent and child. He says, to this crime, we plead guilty. He said, the communists want to replace home education with social. And it's interesting, he uses the word social. The whole theory, if you study the history of the concept of age-segregated socialization, it comes from Marxists, socialists, and social engineers who wanted to break children away from their parents, and they wanted to use a peer group to do it. Now, to really segue away, but still tied in, we took that Deweyan Marxist concept of lumping children all the same age together in one classroom, creating a herd of children, which you know, creates dependency to where students are afraid to go against the opinions of their peers and they're afraid to stand out from the group. We've taken that model that was very intentionally created to destroy family unity. We've imported it into the church wholesale. We've basically taken what the government education system has done with their school system. We've imported it into the church and never thought twice about why we were doing it. We just thought, this works so well in the school system, we should bring it into the church and duplicate the same model here in the church, even though we don't find anything in Scripture that ever says we should be sectioning off children by age or by grade into little subcategories within the church. The New Testament church certainly never practiced that. Where did we get it? Well, again, if we're on a deserted island and all we know about church is what we find in the Bible, we didn't get that idea from the Bible. We actually imported it from John Dewey, Karl Marx, and others. So it's interesting. There's way more history to that than what I have time to share, but there's a great video out there. If you go to indoctrinationmovie.com, the 90-minute documentary on the history of government education, I'm on the video. Ken Ham's on there, Dr. Erwin Luther from Moody Church, Dr. Al Mohler, a lot of other Christian leaders are on this documentary. If you want to know the history of government education, check out that video. It'll be very eye-opening for you.
IndoctrinationTheMovie.com?
I think it's just IndoctrinationMovie.com.
Oh, IndoctrinationMovie.com. Great.
Yeah, if you search Indoctrination Movie Education, if you Google search that, it'll come up.
Another excellent resource to look for on YouTube is the lecture that Dr. Tony Costa of Toronto Baptist Seminary, he is the professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. He gave a lecture to a group of pastors out here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania at my most recent Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastors Luncheon, and his lecture was on the subject of the effects of cultural Marxism on American society, or North American society, since he's from Canada. And I think that you will be blessed and edified and have an eye-opening experience by that lecture. So just look up Tony Costa, C-O-S as in Sam, T as in Thomas, A. Dr. Tony Costa, Cultural Marxism Lecture. Look that up on YouTube and you'll be able to see the whole thing. We're going to a break right now and the Reverend Buzz Taylor has something to say. So please don't forget what you were going to say, Buzz, and we'll have you chime in when we return from the break. And Seth from Greensboro, North Carolina says, tell Joe in Slovenia, great minds think alike. I was going to ask the same question. So think of another question, Seth, and you will we'll ask that on the air as well. So don't go away. We are going to be right back, God willing, with Israel Wayne right after these messages.
Are you a Christian looking to align your faith and finances? Then you'll want to check out Thrivent Financial. We're not your typical financial services provider. We're a not-for-profit Fortune 500 organization that helps our nearly 2.4 million members be wise with money. We provide guidance that reflects your values so you can protect what matters most. We help members live generously and strengthen the communities where they live, work, and worship. Learn more about the Thrivent story by contacting me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433.
We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life.
Blending faith, finances, and generosity.
That's the private story.
We were made to thrive.
Tired of box store Christianity, of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience, featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times. 631-929-3512. Or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts. We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, but since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe, by God's grace, that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man, and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us, and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750, that's 508-528-5750, or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at providencebaptistchurchma.org, that's providencebaptistchurchma.org, or even on sermonaudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Have you been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? We remain on the air because of our faithful sponsors and because of listeners like you. There are four ways you can help. First, do you know potential sponsors who may wish to advertise their goods or services on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? Second, whenever possible, purchase the products or use the services that our sponsors advertise. And then let them know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Thirdly, you can also donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio by going to our website at ironsharpensironradio.com and click support at the top of the page. But most importantly, keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in your prayers. We hope that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio blesses you for many years to come.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402. Or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Chef Exclusive Catering is in South Central Pennsylvania. Chef Exclusive's goal is to provide a dining experience that is sure to please any palate. Chef Damian White of Chef Exclusive is a graduate of the renowned Johnson & Wales University with a degree in culinary arts and applied science. Chef Exclusive Catering's event center is newly designed with elegance and style and is available for small office gatherings, bridal showers, engagement parties, and rehearsal dinners. Critics and guests alike acknowledge Chef Exclusive's commitment to exceeding even the highest expectations. I know of their quality firsthand since Chef Exclusive catered my most recent Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon. For details, call 717-388-3000. That's 717-388-3000. Or visit chefexclusive.com. That's chefexclusive.com.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for A Visit to the Pastor's Study, because everyone needs a pastor.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnes, and if you just tuned us in, our guest today for the full 2 hours, with about an hour to go, is Israel Wayne. We are discussing his book, Education, Does God Have an Opinion? A Biblical Apologetic for Christian Education and Homeschooling. If you'd like to join us on the air with a question for Israel regarding this topic, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And we also have two co-hosts today, Steve Schultz, headmaster at Grace Christian Academy of Long Island, located in Merrick, New York, and the Reverend Buzz Taylor, who is in studio with me. Before I return to our guest and our discussion, I have some important announcements to make from sponsors of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. The Word of Truth Church is pleased to announce that the Word of Truth Bible Institute will be offering 2 free classes this summer, Old Testament Survey and the Book of Romans. The Old Testament Survey will meet tonight from 7 to 9 p.m., and the Romans class will meet next Wednesday, July 26th from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Word of Truth Church, 1055 Portion Road in Farmingville, Long Island, New York. Registration is required by calling Pastor Bruce Bennett at 631-806-0614, and even though the Romans class and the Old Testament survey have already started, new students are still welcome. The church website is wotchurch.com, W-O-T for Word of Truth, church.com, wotchurch.com. Coming up in August, in just a matter of a couple of weeks, August 3rd through the 5th, Fellowship Conference New England is being held at Reverend Buzz Taylor's old stomping grounds in Maine at the Deering Center Community Church in Portland, Maine, and the speakers include Pastor Don Curran, who is the Eastern European Coordinator with Heart Cry Missionary Society, the organization founded by Paul Washer, my friend, Pastor Mac Tomlinson, who is an author and a pastor at Providence Chapel in Denton, Texas, and Pastor Jesse Barrington, who's been on this program as well, pastor of Grace Life Church in Dallas, Texas, the sister church of Grace Life Church in Lake City, Florida, who has a radio station that airs Iron Sharpens Iron Radio every day in a pre-recorded form. And also Pastor Nate Pickowitz, who has been on this program. He is the author of Reviving New England and also the new book, Why We're Protestant. He is also pastor of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Iron Works, New Hampshire. If you'd like to register for this conference, go to fellowshipconferencenewengland.com, fellowshipconferencenewengland.com. And then in November, from the 17th through the 18th, the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals is hosting their Quakertown Conference on Reformed Theology at the Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Quakertown, Pennsylvania. The theme is For Still Our Ancient Foe, a line from the classic Reformational hymn by Martin Luther, A Mighty Fortress, and obviously our ancient foe being a reference to Satan. The speakers at this conference include Kent Hughes, Peter Jones, Tom Nettles, Dennis Cahill, and Scott Oliphant. If you would like to register, the website is alliancenet.org, alliancenet.org. Click on events, and then click on Quakertown Conference on Reformed Theology. Then coming up in January, from the 17th through the 20th, the G3 Conference returns to Atlanta, Georgia, on the theme, Knowing God, a Biblical Understanding of Discipleship. January 17th is exclusively a Spanish-speaking edition of the conference, and January 18th through the 20th is exclusively an English-speaking version of the conference featuring Stephen Lawson, Vody Balcom, Phil Johnson, Keith Getty, H.B. Charles Jr., Tim Challies, Josh Bice, my dear friend Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, Tom Askell, Anthony Mathenia, Michael Kruger, David Miller, Paul Tripp, Todd Friel, Derek Thomas, and Martha Peace. If you'd like to register for the G3 Conference, go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com. And now, finally, it is that uncomfortable moment that I feel compelled to participate in, even though I don't really enjoy doing it. That's grubbing money from you at the urging of the advertisers that are already keeping Iron Sharpens Iron Radio afloat and on the air. I've been urged by them to make public appeals for donations, even though for years I have never made a single public appeal. Months ago, they urged me to begin doing so due to our great financial need in order to keep Iron Sharpens Iron broadcasting. If you love this program, if it's a part of your regular habit, if you find it edifying and you are blessed by it, please consider donating to us by going to ironsharpensironradio.com, clicking on support, and then mailing a check made out to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to the address that you will find when you click support. Only do that if you are fully capable of continuing to provide for your church, as you always have been doing, and providing for your family. Those two things are commands of God. Supporting my radio program is not a command of God. But if you are blessed above and beyond your ability to fulfill those obligations, providing for your church and family, then please, by all means, send us a check for any amount you feel comfortable sending. And again, go to ironsharpensironradio.com and click on support for the address. If you would like to advertise with us, whether it is your church, your parachurch ministry, your business, your corporation, your professional practice, whether you're a doctor, a lawyer, a chiropractor, a dentist, or whether you're having a special event that you want to promote, as long as whatever it is you offer or whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with the theology expressed on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, then by all means, we would love to see if we can help you out in launching an advertising campaign with us. Just send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and put advertising in the subject line. That's also the email address where you could send questions right now for Israel Wayne, our guest today, on the subject of education. Does God have an opinion? chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And by the way, I forgot to mention to both Joe in Slovenia and Daniel in San Jose, California, forgot to mention to you two something very important. You've both won a free copy of Education, Does God Have an Opinion? A Biblical Apologetic for Christian Education and Homeschooling by our guest, Israel Wayne. Compliments of our friends at Masters Books and New Leaf Publishing. And also, it will be shipped to you. Compliments of our friends at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com. That's CV for Cumberland Valley, BBS for Bible Book Service.com. So keep your eye open in the mail for a package with a return address that says cvbbs.com. Please give us your full mailing address so that Todd and Patty Jennings of cvbbs.com can have that shipped out to you as soon as possible. Now, I know that the Reverend Buzz Taylor had something to say that we did not have time to have him say before the break. So, Reverend Buzz.
Yes, I'll tell you, if today's discussion is any indication, I think that's a book that should be in many people's hands. So I'm glad that our listeners are getting them, and everybody else, if you've got children, should buy one anyway. But I remember years ago hearing D. James Kennedy, you know, we were talking about the socialization issue and the witness issue of children in the public schools. And I remember him saying it, and it just made so much sense when he said, you don't pit your 9-year-old kid against a trained humanist because the kid's going to lose. And, you know, why not? You know, that made so much sense. But talking about socialization, I have heard about the stratification being a leftist technique and all. And but you can just do a little experiment on this. Go to a Christian camp or go to maybe even your own church. And you'll notice a number of young people cloister in their little groups. And then others will actually engage in conversation with you. If they engage in conversation with you, ask them if they're homeschooled, and I think you'll be surprised. Most of the time, the answer is going to be yes, because those are the ones that really do develop the socialization. And as far as negative socialization, you know, we, of course, didn't want that either when we kept our children out of the public schools. But then the unfortunate thing is we started seeing some of the influence coming in, and we're like, where's this coming from? And it turns out it was from the public school children in the Sunday school.
Do you have any comments, Israel?
Hey, let me just give a quote from the Puritan writer Richard Baxter. He lived from 1615 to 1691, wrote a lot of excellent books. This is what he said about socialization. I quote, "Keep your children as much as may be from ill company, especially of ungodly playfellows. It is one of the greatest dangers for the undoing of children in the world, especially when they are sent to common schools, for there is scarce any of those schools so good but hath many rude and ungodly, ill-taught children in it."
Wow, interesting, powerful words.
The Scripture does not affirm this concept of peer-separated socialization, and really the reformers did not, and most of the Christian leaders throughout society did not. If you go back to read the writings of Charles Hodge and A.A. Hodge of Princeton, or J. Gresham Machen, or so many of these other great writers, they warned against the harmful influence of government education, but unfortunately the convenience of just being able to drop your children off into a school classroom that you don't have to pay for has really won the day with most Christians. There was a survey that was done by an organization I'm going to leave unnamed, but a very large Christian organization sent out an email survey, and it asked this question. It said, if you could give your children a Christian education, either through homeschooling or at a Christian school, and cost was no consideration, you didn't have to pay for it in any way, would you choose Christian education over government education, or public schooling, as they put it? And then they never published the results. So I had a friend who worked for the organization, and so I called and said, are you going to publish the results? And they said, no, they decided not to publish the public. Just wanted it for internal use. And I said, can you tell me? Well, I'll just tell you this. The composite answer was 77% of our evangelical respondents said they would choose some form of Christian education as long as they didn't have to pay for it. Now, that tells me a lot. And what I believe is that when you hear these arguments about, oh, well, we want our kids to be in the public schools to be salt and light, or we have a great public school and all that, I'm thinking if 77% say we would opt out if we didn't have to pay for it, the real rub here is the money. And that,
Amen.
For most parents, is that's the issue, that they just don't want to, or in some cases financially cannot at the present time, make the sacrifices to put their children into a Christian school or to homeschool. But for many of them, I think a lot of these other arguments are smoke and mirrors. It's their way of justifying to themselves that the decision that they feel is an inferior decision is going to work out okay somehow.
Steve Schultz, do you have anything to add? You seem to be in hearty agreement with Israel.
You heard my amen?
Yes, I did.
Again, I dialogue with parents in the church, and I ask them why not. And, like Israel just indicated, you get a radically different answer from people once money's no longer an issue.
We have Gordy in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, who says, my wife and I homeschool our 7 children, and we were wondering what you see as the biggest challenge for homeschoolers in the coming 5 to 10 years. Israel?
I really don't even have to think about that. I know exactly what it is in my mind. When we were fighting those fights for homeschool freedom 25 years ago, the biggest objective was to stay out of jail. It was the fear of, will my kids turn out okay? Will they be able to be academically successful? Will they fit into the real world? Will they grow up and be good citizens? All those kinds of things. Will they grow up and have a good relationship with me? And all the evidence is in now, and all of those questions are answered with a resounding yes, affirmatively. Homeschooling is successful on every level that you can think of in terms of an outcome that would be desirable. But I think moving forward, the greatest enemy of the Christian homeschooling movement is not some kind of federal power grab, is not some sort of threat from without. I think the Christian homeschooling movement is its own worst enemy right now. I think we are very likely not going to have our freedoms stolen from us. I think we're going to voluntarily give away our freedom. And the reason I think we will do that is because increasingly now the government has figured out that the way to fight homeschooling and combat homeschooling is not to oppose it outright, because they get a big pushback every time they do that. The way to fight it and oppose it now is to offer homeschoolers free money. And if you give them free money, they will take that bait, hook, line, and sinker, and they then can be controlled by it. I'll just tell you something that happened a couple of months ago. I was speaking in Alberta, Canada, at the conference, homeschool conference there. And what just happened in Alberta is that the government just mandated that all schools, that includes government schools, private schools, and homeschools, all schools in Alberta have to teach an LGBT gender neutral, what do you call it, gender fluid curriculum, or else they'll lose their government funding. And what's interesting is, there are no Christian schools, and there are no homeschoolers in Alberta who don't take government funding. I found that shocking. But for 20 years now, all the Christian schools in Alberta and all of the homeschoolers are taking government funds. And in Alberta, the only way you can homeschool legally is to homeschool through the private schools. So just quickly, what the state's done there is what the government's done, province, is they have given Christian schools $5,500 per child per year if they register with the state, and the homeschoolers are all homeschooling through private schools. They don't have like a separate homeschool exemption. They just are considered private school students. And so the homeschoolers then get a voucher for $2,750. They get about half of that if they, you know, if they're part of this school. Just being part of the school, they automatically get this voucher money. So I spoke at the homeschool conference, and they go, if you have four children, you're going to the homeschool curriculum fair with a check for $10,000, a voucher, and you have to spend it to get it. You know, so if you don't spend it, then they don't reimburse you. So you basically, you bring in your receipts, they reimburse you. Anyway, all this to say, they've been doing this for 20 years, and the homeschoolers have never fought for a separate category legally other than private school, because they think, well, if we did that, we wouldn't get our government money anymore. We wouldn't get to go with thousands of dollars to go buy all our Christian curriculum. And you can buy Christian curriculum with it. We can't go buy Christian curriculum with our government bucks. And so two of the main Christian schools in Alberta said, okay, we're not going to teach this. You can have your government money. And they said, no, that's not good enough. We're actually going to shut you down. And so they've actually shut down the two of the largest Christian schools in Alberta. And all the homeschoolers who are under that umbrella covering are now homeschooling illegally because they don't have a separate exemption. Now, I know that's Canada. It's not the United States. But we just have a thing here in Michigan, and almost every state is going to move towards this, where homeschoolers are getting money in partnerships with the public school system, or you get special classes and so on. And I'm seeing this happen all over the United States. And the Trump administration and Betsy DeVos have talked about how they want to help homeschoolers by giving them federal money. So it's not only are they going to have access to state money, they're going to have access to federal money. And the Christian homeschool community just thinks this is the best thing since sliced bread. They're just champing at the bit, can't wait to get, you know, eat out of the government trough. And what they don't realize is that whoever pays for the child's education controls it. And so they're basically going to turn over their freedom and their ability to teach whatever they want to, because the government already has their hooks in it since they're funding it. So that's the biggest threat homeschooling faces in the next 5 to 10 years.
By the way, I don't know if while you...
Government money.
Repeat the last thing you said, because I was talking over you. You didn't realize you were still speaking. What was the last thing you said, brother? The very last few words.
The threat that faces homeschoolers. Yeah, the faces homeschoolers in the next 5 to 10 years is homeschoolers taking government funds.
Okay. By the way, I don't know if you met while you were out there in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, if you met my favorite new preacher. When I say new preacher, he's new to me. Armin Tomassian. If you haven't met him, you've got to meet him the next time you're in Alberta, Canada. He is the pastor of the Calgary Free Presbyterian Church of Alberta, Canada, and he is absolutely phenomenal. He's a young man. And listening to him preach puts me into a time machine back to the days of the Puritans, and it's just phenomenal to listen to this gifted young man proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ in its purity. And I just want to give a plug to my new friend, Pastor Armin Tomassian, and his website for the Calgary Free Presbyterian Church in Alberta, Canada, is Calgary. FPC.ca. That's Calgary FPC for Free Presbyterian Church.ca. Calgary FPC.ca. By the way, thank you, Gordy in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, for the great question. And since you live so close to Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, you're only about 10 minutes away being in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. Why don't you swing by there tomorrow and pick up your free copy?
Maybe Monday.
Oh, yeah, that's right, Monday. I'm sorry, they're closed Saturday. Swing by Monday and pick up your copy of Education, Does God Have an Opinion? A Biblical Apologetic for Christian Education and Homeschooling by our guest Israel Wayne. Compliments of our friends at Master Books and New Leaf Publications, and also compliments of Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. So thank you so much for contributing an excellent question to our guest today. And man, time is flying by. We are going to our final break right now. And if you would like to join our other listeners who have asked questions, if you want a question of your own asked, please do so now before we run out of time. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. And please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. And by the way, I'm going to read a question, Israel, for you. And you can have time to mull it over during the break. And you can as well, Steve Schultz. And then you can answer when we return. We have a listener from Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York, CJ, who says, I know that we are always to put God first and doctrinal biblical purity before any of our other activities in life. But I think it is a very serious issue when a child that demonstrates gifts in athletics may be deprived from pursuing these skills and even perhaps making a career out of them. And these are things that are very rarely found available in Christian schools. And of course, the homeschoolers have their own problems with this. Can you please give a Christian response to this question? And thank you, CJ, from Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York. And we'll have our guest answer that question, God willing, when we return from the break. Don't go away. God willing, we'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for A Visit to the Pastor's Study, because everyone needs a pastor.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Have you been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? We remain on the air because of our faithful sponsors and because of listeners like you. There are four ways you can help.
first. Do you know potential sponsors who may wish to advertise their goods or services on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? Second, whenever possible, purchase the products or use the services that our sponsors advertise. And then let them know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Thirdly, you can also donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio by going to our website at ironsharpensironradio.com and click support at the top of the page. But most importantly, keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in your prayers. We hope that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio blesses you for many years to come.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is sponsored by Harvey Cedars, a year-round Bible conference and retreat center nestled on the Jersey Shore. Harvey Cedars offers a wide range of accommodations to suit groups up to 400. For generations, Christians have enjoyed gathering and growing at Harvey Cedars. Each year, thousands of high school and college students come and learn more about God's Word. An additional 9,000 come annually to Harvey Cedars as families, couples, singles, men, women, pastors, seniors, and missionaries. 90 miles from New York City, 70 miles from Philly, and 95 miles from Wilmington, and easily accessible, scores of notable Christian groups frequently plan conferences at Harvey Cedars, like the Navigators, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Campus Crusade, and the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. Find Harvey Cedars on Facebook or at hcbible.org, hcbible.org. Call 609-494-5689, 609-494-5689. Harvey Cedars, where Christ finds people and changes lives.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guest for the last 90 minutes and for the next half hour has been and will continue to be Israel Wayne, and we have been discussing his book, Education, Does God Have an Opinion? A Biblical Apologetic for Christian Education and Homeschooling. And also we have had two co-hosts, Steve Schultz, who is the headmaster of Grace Christian Academy of Long Island, located in Merrick, New York, and in studio with me, my co-host, the Reverend Buzz Taylor. If you'd like to join us on the air with a question, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And both Israel and then Steve, if you could chime in on the question that we had from our listener, CJ from Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York, is fearful of gifted children, children who are gifted athletically specifically, that may be deprived of pursuing those interests and even pursuing a career in those fields because of the fact that either private Christian schools or homeschooling sometimes can be a roadblock to those kind of pursuits. If you could answer that very, I think, very good question from CJ.
I'm going to answer it in two different ways. The first answer, I'm actually going to allow the Apostle Paul to answer it. He spoke to this issue in 1 Timothy 4:8, and from the New American Standard Bible, he said this, "For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come." So, the Apostle Paul, when he's considering the option of physical exercise over against godly instruction and equipping someone to really know, love, and serve God, he says the weight of the decision is really not equal. You need to pursue godliness and character and eternity above the pursuit of a physical sport or physical exercise. The other thing I would say is he doesn't completely dismiss the concept of sports in that he uses that as an analogy in some of his other messages where he talks about if a runner is running, how they seek a prize and you know, those kinds of things. He uses some sports analogies. So I don't think the Apostle Paul condemns all sports out of hand, but he I think, makes sure that we keep our priorities in order. Now, here's what I would say on the issue of public school. I think that mentality that we have where we say, well, I have to put my kid in the public school so that he can play football, he can play basketball, baseball, whatever it is, or track or something, and he'll just never have an opportunity for a career or to be an Olympian or something if we don't go down that track. I think it's that kind of thinking that keeps progress from happening in the private sector. You know, what if 40 years ago, what if Christian school administrators had said, well, you know, I'm afraid that if we don't put our kids in public school, they'll never be able to get a job somewhere. Well, that's more important than playing a sport, isn't it? But they didn't say, so let's just keep sending our child to public school. They started Christian schools, and lo and behold, guess what? Students did really well, and they got jobs. Or what if somebody said, you know, well, I think we shouldn't homeschool because, you know, what if our children won't be able to succeed in life and whatever? Today, there are homeschool basketball teams. There's actually a national basketball conference that happens down in Springfield, Missouri, every year. There's a homeschool baseball World Series. There are lots of Christian schools, particularly in the southern states, have very large football programs. There is a bias against Christian-educated students on the part of the establishment, but I think that would go away if people stopped going to the default of, we have to choose a government solution to our problem. I don't know if that makes sense. What I'm saying is the default that Christians have is, we have to find a government solution to our problem because you'll never be able, the private sector will never be able to compete, will never be able to be as successful. Socialistic options are always better. That's the Christian mantra of today. I don't believe that. I don't think that's true. So I would say that if we close the door on that kind of thinking and say, how do we solve this problem, I think you'd see the person who created this homeschool basketball league or who started these Christian school football teams, you would find solutions being provided within the Christian community, and I think the students coming out of there would excel. I think they'd be the Daniels and the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who would excel to the point that they would be recognized in whatever field of endeavor they go into. They would be the cream that rises to the surface. They'd be noticed, and I think that you'd find NBA and Major League Baseball, and I think you'd find them getting drafted and recruited right out of Christian schools if people didn't just bail out on that idea and say, well, we have to go to the government because they're the only ones who have the potential of being successful. So I'll kick that back over to Steve and see what you have to say.
And, of course, there's always the option for the Christian schools to have bare-knuckle boxing in the parking lot. I'm just kidding. By the way, I hope that these Christian avenues for athletics are not having kids participate in these activities on the Lord's Day, because I'm amazed how many Christian parents I have met who have said to me, oh, we haven't been to worship service in a month or so because we've been taking our kids to soccer. And it's just amazing how Sunday has become the official day of athletic activity, and it's such a tragedy. But anyway, Steve Schultz, if you could comment on that as well. And also, I understand you have a couple of your own questions for Israel.
I do. I'll hold off on my questions for a minute. I want to echo, first of all, everything Israel just said. I agree. My starting point with this is no matter what you do, you're never going to get everything that you want. And what that leaves you with is you have to, you know, really make a decision as to what are you going after. And that should be, in my opinion, and I believe God's opinion, driven by a biblical worldview. And Israel very eloquently articulated that our first priority should be the development of character, and specifically biblical Christ-like character. Now, at the same time, I feel for CJ in all the athletic, actually in all the outreach type activities I've been involved with, the ones that have been the most effective have been athletic. It provides an environment in which everything is tested in the character, It gives us great opportunities to witness and to disciple. And I wish in my school we had a bigger gym. I wish we had a bigger field. I wish we had more facilities. But that kind of takes us back to one of the things Israel touched on, and that is when the Christian community prioritizes things that are not intrinsically Christian, they're not necessarily unchristian, but when they prioritize those things that draw them out of the Christian community, they take their resources with them, and it leaves the homeschool community, it leaves the Christian school community without resources necessary to develop reputation, to develop facilities, to develop resources. Now, again, I wish we had a tremendous amount of resources to put into our athletic program. The problem is we just don't. We live in Nassau County. Nassau County, to my understanding, is less than 3% evangelical, so the church community is really small. We are, on the flip side of that, I think the most expensive county in the country. So we just don't have resources. We make do with what we've got. You know, we're not going to be able to provide the athletic program that the public schools do. On the other hand, you know, by the time you leave our school, you will have heard the gospel. You will have been discipled in one way, shape, or form, and encouraged to live out the Christian life and equipped to do it. Now, one of the solutions that we use, and this is kind of my final point here, is we turn to community athletics. I'll use my situation as an example. My son, growing up, was pretty good at soccer. We don't have the facilities at my school to satisfy that. We don't have the space. So we just went to our own town and enrolled him in soccer there. You know, we've done that with gymnastics with my daughters and things like that. I think one of the things that we need to consider is, I mean, we don't want to say that one is doomed to not develop their athletic abilities if they don't go to a public school. That's not true. And I think for that, you know, just look at Tim Tebow. I mean, here's a guy who is homeschooled and is a phenomenal athlete. So I think he kind of presents a challenge to that idea.
Great. And you had a couple of questions.
My church basketball team. Yeah, as a homeschool student, I played on a basketball team that was a church basketball team. So we didn't have homeschool groups back then. But, you know, churches used to have teams, softball leagues and things like that. There's a lot of opportunity. If the point is just for physical exercise and sport, then I think there's a lot of community opportunities. Churches could do this kind of thing, homeschool groups. Homeschool groups could come together with Christian schools, work together. You know, there's a lot of things. Let me just throw this in real quickly. I'll try to be short with this. But on this funding side, I think this is something just creative to think outside the box, because we kind of come back a lot of times to that we don't get to do everything we feel we should do because we don't have enough money. I was in a church in a state I won't name, but this was a Dutch Reformed church, and they had a commitment that every student in their church would have an opportunity to have a Christian education if they chose it. So they weren't going to force you, but they just didn't want anybody to not receive a Christian education if that was possible. So what they did was they said, before we send a nickel to foreign missions, we're going to look at our own children in our own church as the priority, kind of like Jesus said about, you know, the Great Commission starting in Jerusalem and then Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world. They said, this is our Jerusalem. Our own children really are our first mission field. And so we're not going to give any money until every child in our church is subsidized to receive a full Christian education if they choose. And I thought, you know what, that is so incredibly bold and creative. And I just think if we thought more that way, and prioritized Christian schools, then you wouldn't have Christian schools who were financially deficient all the time, couldn't do things because they didn't have finances. You wouldn't have people who say, well, we can't homeschool or whatever. You know, how you work all that out, I'm sure, is a challenge. I just throw that out there to say, I think if we made Christian education a priority, you'd start finding solutions like that rather than saying, well, why don't you just send them to public school, which is what everybody does. They just go, well, why don't you send them to public school? You know, socialism's always better. And so I'm going to say I think we need to start thinking first and primarily that Christian children need Christian education.
And Steve, if you have your questions.
Okay. All right, Israel. I was reading a blogger this morning who was addressing something that you had stated, and it kind of got my blood boiling, and I just wanted to give you an opportunity to publicly respond to this. I won't mention the guy's name. He's got his own website, and he criticizes your call to keep the gospel central in education by stating that indoctrination is when education, and I quote him, when education is used to pass on an ossified set of ideologies, which he calls a closed system, as opposed to being an embraced process whereby all children freely, enthusiastically, and wisely discover life on their own terms and at their own pace, and he calls that an open system. I wanted to hear your response to this and your criticism of what he is calling an open system.
Well, I would say this. It's impossible for a school not to indoctrinate a child. The question
correct.
Is, are they giving them the correct doctrine?
Correct.
You know, and so my view is, of course, children will be indoctrinated into some kind of doctrine. The question is it a true doctrine or is it a false doctrine? I was on NPR, a state NPR station one time, and the guy asked me the question. He said, well, don't you think that homeschoolers, you know, have this small, provincial, monolithic, one-size-fits-all worldview that they're presented because they only get one perspective from their parents? They don't really, you know, get to see all the different views and all the different perspectives like they do in public school. I said, like they do in public school? You mean like evolution? He said, exactly.
Right.
I said, okay, so in public school, can you teach intelligent design? And he said, no. I said, in public school, can you teach young earth creationism? I said, no. I said, can you teach any other theory besides macroevolution in public school? He said, no. I said, so basically what you're telling me is they get a one-size-fits-all monolithic provincial education in government education. In homeschooling,
right.
We don't. We study all different viewpoints, all different sides, but we have a thesis that we think is true, just like you have a thesis you think is true. So I would say that it's impossible to have an educational system that does not promote values, because that really is the goal, is to try to transmit not just information, but to teach a child, what do you do with this information? And you can't teach values unless you have a moral law, and you can't have a moral law unless you have a moral law giver, but that looks an awful lot like God, and you can't have him in a government school system. So all you can ever do is teach knowledge in a vacuum, which I would posit just equips somebody to become a more educated heathen, and we don't need more of those. What we need is we need information in the context of ethics.
Steve, did you have another question?
Yeah, if I may.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to do my best to articulate this so it makes sense. If it doesn't, it's my fault. If we could, say, draw an analogy between the public school system and an oak tree, the oak tree begins with a very elaborate and detailed set of principles designed to produce a very intentional outcome or product. And this is all contained in the acorn, or the oak seed, if you will. What would you point to as the most foundational set of principles, or to use that vernacular, public school seed, if you will?
Yeah, if I'm understanding the question correctly, it's humanism. Absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, it's humanism. And that is what the founders of government education said that they were trying to do, is they were trying to create a system that would be exclusively promoting humanism. Horace Mann, the guy who was the founder of compulsory attendance laws in Massachusetts. He said this: "We who are engaged in the sacred cause of education are entitled to look upon all parents as having given hostages to our cause." I mean, he was very clear that he had a set of principles, of a worldview that he wanted to indoctrinate these children into, and it was the religion of humanism. And, you know, Charles Potter, the humanist, John Dewey, lots of these guys, I've just been going through a number of their quotes this last week, working on a new book for next year. And they were just outright, forthright about the fact that they wanted to promote the doctrines of humanism, that man is the center, man is the measure of all things.
Do you have a list anywhere of quotes like that?
I do privately. I haven't published them, but yeah, I've got a few thousand quotes right now, and I'm looking on incorporating them into the next couple of books that I write. I'm going to do one that's this book, "Education Does God Have an Opinion?" is really just trying to help people to establish what a biblical philosophy of education looks like, and then how a biblical philosophy can be taught in every academic discipline. So
sure.
I teach that. You know, mathematics is not religiously neutral. Physics is not religiously neutral. Geography, phonics, there's no subject that's religiously neutral. People say, oh, math is math. Jesus doesn't have anything to do with math. I contend that emphatically in my book. And I say you will either teach the lordship of Jesus Christ as it relates to math, or you will teach a humanistic version of math. There is no middle ground. So this book
right.
is going to radically tweak the way people look at education. But I've got a couple more in the pike. I've got one in the back of my mind on the history of government education, and then I've got a kind of bullet point Q&A style apologetic book to help people to defend their decision to choose Christian education and homeschooling that's scheduled for next year.
Great. Any follow-up, Steve?
Can I just real quick. The reason I asked that question is because out of all the things that I present to families to encourage them to educate their children Christianly, and I do encourage them to educate them not just at our school, but through other means as well, like homeschooling, because I think that the Christ-centeredness is the key there. Nothing is more effective than when they start to see the underpinnings of the public school system that they're not quite frightened enough by until they start to learn of the foundational ideologies of it.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, I think they're in a lot of denial until they see hardcore evidence. And I wish there was some way that we could just disseminate that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that video that I mentioned earlier, Indoctrination, every Christian who's considering this issue of education needs to look at it. The full title of that is Indoctrination, Christianity, or sorry, Public Schools and the Decline of Christianity in America. That's the subtitle, Public Schools and the Decline of Christianity in America. That video in 90 minutes lays it out as clearly as I've ever seen anybody lay it out. But there are some other resources that you can get if you go into that video, two experts that are mentioned in there, Samuel Blumenfeld, who just passed away this last year in his 80s, one of the best educators and historians of education.
Was that Blumenfeld or Blumenthal?
It's Blumenfeld, F-L-D,
okay.
Samuel Blumenfeld. And then also John Taylor Gatto, G-A-T-T-O. He was New York State and New York City Teacher of the Year. This guy is an insider's insider, and in 1991, at his acceptance speech for his award for Teacher of the Year for New York State and New York City, he stood up and said, "We are doing the greatest disservice we could possibly do these children by having them in government education. Best thing we could do is just shut down the whole thing."
Oh, man.
And so anyway, he wrote a book called The Underground History of American Education, Dumbing Us Down, and a bunch of other books, John Taylor Gatto, G-A-T-T-O. Those two guys are both on that indoctrination video. He's also, I think, in his 80s now. But that video is a springboard into other resources. But those two guys are the two leading historians. They've just you know, they just put hundreds and hundreds of pages of information that's still out there, just most people don't know about them.
In fact, I could confirm that you are correct as far as the website. It's indoctrinationmovie.com. Indoctrinationmovie.com. I'm looking at it right now. Well, Israel, I'd like you to summarize what you most want to have etched on the hearts and minds of our listeners before we run out of time today.
I think the fact that there's almost nothing that is going to shape the future of a child's life more than how they are educated, and that parents are the ones in Scripture who are really the only agency that God has ever commanded to teach children. God didn't command the church to teach children. He didn't command the civil government to teach children. He commanded parents, and then in two Bible verses, grandparents, where he said, teach your sons and your sons' sons. God puts the burden and the weight of responsibility for education on parents, and he tells them it has to be done in the fear of the Lord, and has to acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to suggest to you that you get a copy of Education, Does God Have an Opinion? I think it'll be a game changer for you. I think you'll never look at education the same way.
Great. And you can get that book from Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. .com. I'm sorry, cvbbs.com is the website, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com. And I know that Israel Wayne's website is israelwayne.com, israelwayne.com, and also familyrenewal.org, familyrenewal.org. Israel, do you have any other contact information that you care to share?
You can also look me up on Facebook. I'm at /IsraelWayneAuthor, also Israel.Wayne, and also /FamilyRenewal. I'm on Twitter at Israel Wayne. And we also have a podcast. If you listen to podcasts on iTunes or Google Play, look up Family Renewal. You can find our podcast. But I would love to keep in touch with you that way. If people want to subscribe to our email list, go to familyrenewal.org/subscribe. We can send them our once-a-month email update. If you're interested in having me speak at your church or a conference, I would love to come and speak to your group. My email would be familyrenewalevents@gmail.com. We're going to be doing a trip out east in October, so maybe we can piggyback something while we're out there and speak to your church or group. So we'd love to hear from you.
Great. And, of course, the publisher of this book can be found at masterbooks.com, masterbooks.com. And Steve Schultz, please say a few words before we run out of time about Grace Christian Academy.
Okay. There are two main ways to find us on the Internet. One is through our main website, which is gcali.com. The side note, that needs to be updated a little bit. We're also on Facebook, Grace Christian Academy, Long Island, and that's where you'll find a lot of pictures and get an idea of the activities that we're engaged in. But I just want to highlight everything that Israel said. I'm right with him on this. I think we're both in the same trench, and but I also see some good things coming our way. I think families are waking up. And I really yep. think that the horrible things that have been taking place in academia around our country is doing just that. It's waking people up.
Great. Well, I would love to have you both back on the program again in the near future. In fact, I know, Steve, we already have an interview with you sometime in the future. Do you have the calendar in front of you? Or I don't recall when we have you scheduled.
We're shooting for around October 12th, I think.
Okay, great. Well, everybody, you can mark your calendars for that. October 12th, 4 to 6 p.m., when Steve Schultz will be returning as our guest to discuss Grace Christian Academy and classical education. And hopefully we'll also have both of these brothers back on the program together in the near future as well. I once again want to thank all of our listeners who took the time to write in questions, and I think I forgot to tell CJ from Lindenhurst, Long Island, you have won a free copy of Education, Does God Have an Opinion? A Biblical Apologetic for Christian Education and Homeschooling. So make sure we have your full mailing address, and we'll have Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service ship you out a free copy of the book as well. And I want to thank both of you men for being on the program. I want to thank the Reverend Buzz Taylor for being my co-host today. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner. Have a very safe, blessed, joyful, refreshing weekend and Lord's Day. And please, if you do not have a church home that's biblically faithful, seek one out prayerfully. And if you need help in finding one, we can help you with that as well. God bless you all, and we look forward to hearing from you and your questions for our guests next week, God willing, on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.